Turn in your Bibles once again to Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm just going to read one verse right now. I'm going to share with you the lesson based on that verse. The Bible says in verse number 12 of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of weakness in the heavenly places." As I begin the message this morning, I want you to understand that there are some things that we don't see that can hurt us. There are many things that we have no clue to, have no understanding or knowledge of, but it can hurt us. And there are some circumstances and situations that sometimes go on behind the scenes, undetected, that can cause a lot of damage to us. In the medical field, there's a condition called the silent killer. And it refers to the condition of high blood pressure. Even though you can't see it, and sometimes the person who has it doesn't really feel it, but it can cause damage throughout the body. It can cause heart attacks, strokes, and all of these other things because it's a condition that is there, that exists, and it continually may be getting worse, but the person's not aware of it. That's kind of like the scripture and the message that I want to give you today. The scripture reminds us that we need to beware of forces that we can't see. The lesson this morning is fighting an invisible enemy. Fighting an invisible enemy. As we looked at verse number 12, the Bible says we are in a battle. We are even in a struggle with a formidable enemy. We are fighting against someone that we cannot see, but it's someone that causes chaos and problems in our lives. We, whether you want to be or not, all of us caught up in it. And let me just give you a few things. We're fighting this battle, and some of the things that happens is that marriages break up because of this enemy. It causes children to go astray and to become delinquent. Causes church members to fall away, the enemy that I'm talking about. Causes churches to split and some of them to close their doors, the enemy that I'm talking about. The enemy that I'm talking about has power over everyone and everything. Everyone has been affected by it in one way or another. The enemy that I'm talking about can cause you to believe a lie. Every Sunday, the enemy stands up in the pulpit and tells lies to somebody. And a lot of people are buying into it. Stay with me, church. I'm talking about an enemy that is subtle. I'm talking about an enemy that goes out of his way, and he causes strategic battles and attacks to come upon us. The enemy that I'm talking about, we struggle with, And he can cause us to get into all kinds of situations. He causes us to get caught up and strung out on drugs. He causes friends who were close and tight to become enemies. The enemy that I'm talking about. And if that wasn't bad enough, we need to understand this, that the enemy that we are fighting against, we can't see. Let me give you a little indicator of just how desperate this is. In 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse number 19, the prophet Elijah went up against 450 prophets of Baal. One man against 450. Oh, that sounds like a pretty tough fight, doesn't it? But he was able to see every one of them. The Bible tells me again, when I look at it in 1 Samuel chapter 17, that the young man David went up against Goliath, a giant. All of the rest of the armies were afraid. All of the rest were running and hiding. But this young man, David, equipped only with a sling and a rock, was willing to go up against Goliath. But he was able to see him. Close your eyes for a minute. And I want you to visualize that you are on a battlefield. I want you to visualize that you hear rockets, you hear bombs, and you hear all kinds of things going on around you, but you can't see it. I want you to hear the silence and to know that as you stand there, something is about to happen. As you stand there, you can have a feeling that somebody's getting close to you. You have a feeling that something is getting ready to touch you, but you can't see anything. That's how we live in this life. We live in this life in such a way that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but the enemies that are out to destroy us are spiritual, they're invisible. We know this because the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 9, that there was a time when in heaven there was a war, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. And the Bible says that Michael prevailed against them, and he kicked them out of heaven. And it came down to the earth. So they didn't come down looking like Brother Lies. They didn't come down looking like Brother Snow. But they came down in an invisible state. And they exist in an invisible realm that you and I can't see and we can't touch. And so I hope you're beginning to have a feel for what's happening. The battle that we have is not flesh and blood. Oh, when we get into a fist fight because we can't get along, you and I are fighting, but Satan is behind it, all right? You and I are throwing the blows, but Satan put the bad thoughts in the mind. You and I are causing the hurt and the pain, but Satan a long time ago instigated the stuff that got us going. I want you to see this morning that we are in a battle. Most of us in the church act like we're not in a battle. Most of us in the church act like ain't nothing happening. But let me share with you. With this invisible enemy, it's really tough. I'm told that it's reminiscent of the individuals who served in Vietnam. You see, Vietnam was a different kind of war. The other wars, tanks lined up and they shot at each other. Armies lined up and they shot at each other and ran into each other and hit each other and all that kind of stuff. But in the jungles of Vietnam, the enemy didn't come in your face. While you were walking around in the water and the rice paddies, he was sniping you from a treetop. Even though we had all of this, the United States did had all of these mechanized artillery and all of these kinds of things, when we got in the jungle, when we got into the rice paddies, it didn't do us any good. And men who were brave and strong became a little afraid, because they found out they were fighting an invisible enemy, one that they could not readily grab and one that they could not readily touch and could not be easily defeated. And it was so bad that we didn't declare victory. We just said, I'm going home. We just said, I'm going home. Anybody served in that, you know what I'm talking about. We can't see the enemy, but we're in this battle. We can't see the enemy, but guess what? Damage is being done. We can't see the enemy, but there's casualties everywhere. Can't see the enemy, but there's wounds all on our body from the attacks that he has caused in our lives. Can't see the enemy, but there's hurt and there's pain that we go through every day. We need to be reminded. In Ephesians 2, verse number 2, 1 talks about how that we were dead in our trespasses and our sins, but the Bible says, in which you, who formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Understand that there's still power that this invisible enemy has. And when we are not in God, Christ Jesus, when we have not turned our lives over to God, and when we have not given ourselves fully to him and become a part of his church, then we are dead in our trespasses. And this spirit power who controls the realm of this world has free will with us. Oh, but I'm so glad. I'm so glad this morning that we have some help. I'm so glad this morning that we have not been left alone. You know, even Peter, when he was here on earth, and Jesus was here on earth, Jesus at one time warned Peter, because Peter was just like you and me. You know, Peter got into trouble from time to time, amen? Peter was rash and he made some mistakes every now and then, Peter thought he was Mr. Cool and thought he was strong, but he found out he was weak. Does that sound like you and me? Well, he was one of the apostles. He should have been real strong. But Jesus said these words to him in Luke 22, 31, 32. He mentioned to him how, you know, Satan has been desirous of you. He desires to sift you like wheat. He says, but I prayed for you. And he says, and when you have turned again, strengthen the brethren. Well, wait a minute. I'm Mr. Apostle. I'm one of the 12. I've been with you. Jesus saw his heart and he knew that Satan was working, scheming, and manipulating to use his weaknesses to his failure. And that's what happens with all of us if we're not careful. the schemes, the attacks, the thing that Satan lays in our way, we will fall for them. And you know, it's like somebody playing tricks on you. The first time, it's new. But don't you get discouraged with yourself when you keep on falling for the same trick that they keep on bringing to you? We ought to be that way about Satan. Somebody says something to us, and we fly off the handle. We hear something from somebody, and we're on the phone. Hey, I heard this and that. You've been tricked. Satan is using you. He's sifting you just like wheat. He is using you. When we get to the point that we hear that and we say, well, I don't understand why they did that. When we get to the point that he doesn't cause us to react, flip out, and go crazy, then we understand the enemy. We understand it's not the person on the other end of the phone, but it's someone bigger and higher than that that's at the root of it. And when we understand that, then we can keep our cool. We don't have to go crazy just because we heard something crazy, amen? If this is the case then, that we fight an enemy that we can't see, we can't feel, we can't touch, and most of us have no clue, well, then what do? How can we fight an invisible enemy? And church, that's why I wanted to bring this to you this morning. It's so critical for us to see and to understand. This is the greatest thing that you'll be able to accomplish in your life if you learn how to fight an invisible enemy. I remember watching a movie once, and this woman was a battered woman. And she went to a lawyer, and the lawyer said, well, ain't nothing you can do. He's got a lot of money, and if he keeps beating you up, he got money and to buy off people, and he can do this and that. If you run away, he'll find you. And she was like, what can I do? He gave her a card, said, here's someone who'll teach you how to defend yourself. And one of the things that, in learning how to defend herself, oh, she learned all the moves, and she was working out, and she got strong, and she knew how to do all the moves, how to take down. She knew how to hit him in the nose and do all that stuff. He said, but in all of this, this isn't what's going to save your life. He blindfolded her and said, you have got to learn how to see what you can't see. You've got to learn how to overcome that which you cannot necessarily control. And what he taught her was that if you fall down, if he knocks you down, he's going to stomp you. And he taught her how that the moves that she needed to make, she only by instinct and maybe hearing and getting her senses to the point that she could hear more and see more and understand more and perceive more. And she said, he's going to come at you, and he's going to be stomping you, and he's going to be trying to hit you. But she learned how to evade that. And when it came to the final battle, that's exactly what happened. She was looking pretty for a while. But then he got to throw her down. And when she was down and she had been hurt, and she knew he's going to stomp me. And she, because she knew it, she was able to maneuver. And she was able to save her life. Folks, I'm telling you, when it comes to the battle that we have with Satan, we've got to save our life. It's serious business. We've got to know that he's coming from every angle. And summing this up, I know we can go a lot into the Roman army and all of the uniform. I didn't want to do that this morning. Well, I just want you to see that the enemy is invisible. And that there's two powerful things that you and I can do to save ourselves. Are you ready for it? The first one is, we're going to have to learn that our strength must be in the Lord. Verse number 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. That means we got to throw away all of our stuff and only depend on God. Being hot-headed, being angry isn't going to work. Your cursing and your swearing will not get the job done. Pretending that it's not happening isn't going to work. You're going to have to get real and understand that you need some help. And we have to do it in the strength of his might. Let me point out that we have to put on the full armor of God. Everything that God has supplied for us, we need to eat it up. We need to put it on. There's not one of us who can afford to miss one church service. Amen. There's not one of us who can afford to go a day without reading God's word. Jesus, when he was tempted, he said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We need all of the armor, all of the things that God has given us. We need truth. God has given us truth. We need righteousness, the preparation of the peace of the gospel. We need faith, salvation, and the word of God. We need all of these things. We need one another. Fellowship, coming together. Even though we were bowling and missing the strikes and the spares, we were getting stronger because we were together. We were getting stronger because we were edifying one another. We need to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Quit trying to depend on your stuff because it's not going to work. Quit trying to fight an enemy that you can't see. God has the spiritual weapons. God has the power. God has already defeated him. God already kicked him out. God already has him bound. God already has won the battle. You and I have just got to give it to God. And lastly, the warrior, the Apostle Paul, in verse number 18, gave us the key to spiritual victory. He gave us the key when children have gone astray. He gave us the key when husband and wives are fussing and fighting and not getting along. He gave us the key when our parents are on the verge of passing away. He gave us the key when calamity is going on in our life on every hand, right and left. He gave us the key when we're laying up in a hospital bed and they're trying to decide what to do with us. He gave us the key. He gave us the weapon. He gave us the most powerful thing that any of us could have. And what he said was this. He says, finally, brethren, pray. Be prayerful at all times, praying in the Spirit. You see, I don't know about you, but the more you come to know God, the more you need to come to know prayer. Because I've seen God take people from the ICU and bring them back and set them in the pew. Amen. I've seen God take people who couldn't walk, and he's lifting them up, and they go the happy dance. Amen. I've seen God do some marvelous things through prayer. Jesus told his disciples on one occasion in Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1 that as he spoke, was telling them a parable, that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Things might look bad. It might not. You might not know what's going to happen tomorrow, but just pray about it. All kinds of things might be going on in your life, but just pray about it. God will cause things to happen in your favor. Just pray about it. The church needs to be a praying church. The more the church prays, the more the power of God is exemplified in the world today. Just pray about it. James says in James chapter 5, verse number 16, that we ought to pray, confess our faults one to another. We ought to pray one for another. Why? Because, King James, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It accomplishes something. It is what will make a difference. I want to encourage you to, one, know that we fight an invisible enemy. And two, I want you to understand that because we fight an invisible enemy, don't try to fight the enemy the way you would Muhammad Ali. Of course, that's asking for a beating. But fight the enemy in the spiritual way that he's coming at you. And you only can do it with Christ Jesus. You only can be victorious through Christ Jesus. If you're here this morning, I don't know what battles you have going on, but there's one thing significant about this. You see, he doesn't come to you in all-out war. He's going to come to you in skirmishes. He's going to attack you here because you're weak there. He's going to wait a while. He did that with Jesus. He went away in Matthew chapter 4 for a season with the temptations. But he's going to come back again just when some stuff ain't going right. You had an accident in the car and you don't have any money to pay your bills. Boom! He's going to hit you in the nose right then. He's going to hit you right then. And if you don't have your spiritual act together, he's going to cause you to start talking crazy and acting like you don't know what you're supposed to be doing. If you're here this morning and you know that you need to be serving God, I want to encourage you to come and give your life to Christ. Christ came and died, put the bonds on Satan, kicked the demons away, cast them out, to let all of us know that there's salvation in Christ Jesus. That it's a better way, that you can win the battles in your life. But you got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You got to be willing to repent of your sins. You got to be willing to confess Christ before men. Be buried with him in baptism. And as you're buried with him in baptism, he will wash away your sins. He will add your name to the book of life. And he will add you to his church. Acts 2 verse 47. If you're here and you've already done that, then just be prepared. Be on guard. You know, we always should have on body armor. We always should have something on our head to take away the blows of whatever might come our way. Because people will get in your head and do some stuff. Okay, but the Word of God will keep it where it's supposed to be. I can go on and on here, but it's a lot that we can do. But I just want to encourage you to know this morning that there's an invisible enemy. You need to be ready for it, and if you're not in Christ, you're not ready to fight that enemy. But if you're here today and you're ready to give your life to Christ, it's the beginning of a new life. It's the beginning of putting your weapons on and being ready to face anything that comes your way. If you want to come, please come as we together stand and sing.